Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this morning. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon us and fill this place, fill our hearts, fill our minds right now. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, that you would clear minds. Lord, that you'd break down walls and barriers, that you would loose chains that holds some in bondage this morning, that we would clearly see your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for all that you have done and will continue to do in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we find ourselves on the cusp of that fateful day when one year ends and another year begins. And as we so often do, some of us, because we're gluttons for punishment, we're going to make some resolutions and start some programs that we very likely aren't going to finish by the end of the year. But some of you are very disciplined and are able to do those things. Now, as we look at the upcoming year, I really want this morning to be an encouragement to all of you with what we have coming up this year. And just as an aside, there are many more aids. We actually are living really kind of in an interesting era where we know that Jesus said that as in the times of the days of Noah, so will the return of the Son of Man be. And we know that the world is heading towards a cliff that's much worse than the fiscal cliff that our government is considering right now. But we know that we're heading to a time when Christ is going to return. On the other hand, there are so many more resources available to us when we consider making New Year's resolutions, especially concerning maybe our faith, to read through the Bible in a year. And there are all kinds of different layouts that you have. But now, I mean, it's almost a crime not, a spiritual crime not to go through the Bible in a year, because they've actually put it on disc for you. And you can just listen through it if you want to. And you don't even have to read it. So we are certainly blessed in this time. Now, last week we celebrated Christmas and certainly looked at the first 14 verses of chapter 2 of Luke. And here we see that the shepherds respond to the message that they were given. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Christ is born, and the announcement is made, an angel revealing this glorious news to the shepherds in the field. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You see, he was born that day, but is still Savior today, and is to be sought every day. And when they heard this announcement, notice their reaction. First, they were afraid, but then we're told they made haste to see for themselves. And I want to first look at, as we consider maybe our New Year's resolution this year, that maybe our New Year's resolution, it will be faith training. We all have made those resolutions that we're going to start getting fit, maybe start walking or jogging. Some of us going to the gym and lifting weights, eating better. We've all done that, right? Renewed every year, eating better. And then I get that first mailing from Omaha Steaks, I'm done, you know. We all have our weaknesses. But we're going to get some insight, I believe, into faith training from the least likely of people, these shepherds that Jesus spoke to. And so first, what I want us to take note of, and I want to encourage you in, is that they sought him. You see, there is strength training in seeking the Lord. Notice they didn't give lip service. Hey, that's awesome news, angel guy. But can't you see we're busy here? We'll check it out when we get a chance. You know, we believe in God. You see, we're watching the sheep here. We've got a very important business to take care of. No, they went to see for themselves, and they went with haste, and it says they found Mary and Joseph and the babe, that babe being Jesus. They found what they were looking for. So sad. You too and Bono still haven't found what they're looking for. But they found what they're looking for. Yet, just as they were told, there he was, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And today is December 30th. And I find myself pretty excited this morning that day there was born to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord, born that day for us today, not just December 25th. He's born for us today to take notice of him, to understand just how amazing and wonderful that is. And we get caught up in this cycle that, hey, you know, the story of Jesus born in a manger, that the babe, that Jesus became man and dwelt among us, it was great, and we'll revisit it again in a year. But I don't believe that's the message that we have here one bit. It's something that we can consider every morning as we wake up afresh and anew, for his mercy is new every morning, and he showed that mercy certainly through Jesus as he poured out his grace upon all of mankind. Something refreshing and exciting every morning, tomorrow the 31st, on January 1st, 2013, to us was born a Savior in the city of David, Christ the Lord. And so he was born that date for us today. And so we don't have to wait till December 25th, 2013 to hear about the good news. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That scripture and those names will never, never, never grow old. But we're told this in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember, the first thing they did is they went and they sought him. To diligently seek is exeteo, and it's used seven times in the New Testament. Twice it's used as required of, speaking of the blood of the prophets was going to be required of that generation as Jesus was talking to that generation. Twice it is used as seek after. Once sought carefully, speaking of Jacob. Once we had here in Hebrews to diligently seek, and then once in 1 Peter, it is to inquire or enquire. For in Peter we're told, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Awesome. And so here we see that there was an inquiry being made. It is a requirement of faith to diligently, carefully seek after and inquire of the Savior, Christ the Lord. Well, Pastor, my faith is wavering. I'm always questioning whether or not I understand what, you know, the Bible says and whether I believe it. And when people ask me questions about the Bible, I just tend to freeze up. I'm just not sure. Well, are you seeking Him diligently, carefully, inquiring of Him? I mean, really, are you seeking Him specifically? Have you sought Him wholeheartedly? Or has it been half-heartedly? You see, these shepherds, they left the fields. Hey, let's go see this thing. Notice that they said, that has come to pass. They weren't doubting it. Nor were they going to take it for granted, that which the Lord has made known to them. They left the fields, they went into Bethlehem to the place where they were told to find that babe lying in a manger. It was done as far as they were concerned. They were just going to go see it. What a privilege to carry in their minds and on their hearts that scene when they saw the Savior in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. You see, enjoying the good news every day is really a requirement of our faith. It's not a Christmas thing or an Easter thing. And there's no better time to make a resolution to strengthen your faith than right now. You know that faith training for the new year. You see, Luke 11:9, Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And by the way, do it with persistence. You see, he had just gotten done explaining the parable of the traveler, or it was the friend that went and knocked on somebody, on a neighbor's door, and that neighbor didn't want to answer it because they didn't have anything ready like they were supposed to. They were already in bed, all snuggled up, maybe waiting for Santa Claus to come. I don't know. But they didn't want to answer the door. And Jesus finally explained, he says, do you think they answered the door because they actually wanted to and they wanted to help the friend out? It said, no, it was because of their persistence. They kept knocking. They kept seeking. They needed some help. And it said, because of persistence, they opened the door. And it's that same idea that Christ is telling you and he's telling me, ask, seek, knock, but don't just do it once and go on your way. It's with a diligence, seeking him diligently, knocking until he answers. And as you do, as you seek him with wholeheartedly and with that in mind, your faith is going to become stronger, and it's going to become stronger. You see, it's the same idea. I used to work out a lot, having been a basketball player and wanting to strengthen my upper body and lower body. And the idea really is, in weightlifting and getting stronger, it's less weights, more reps. If you just want to get bulky, it's more weight, less reps, neither here nor there. But you don't just walk into a weight room and throw on 350 or 400 pounds and start going to work. That's how injuries occur. It's like the old adage, faith can move mountains, and some want to see the mountain moved right away, and when the mountain has not moved, their faith gets injured. While others remove the mountain a little bit at a time, diligently, persistently, and their faith grows as the mountain shrinks. So the first step to faith training is to strengthen our faith. The shepherds sought to see this thing. And we can seek him through his word, reading and hearing it, through prayer, through fellowship. We have all kinds of resources today to fill our time, to fill our ears, to put in front of our eyes. And so they sought him. In verse 7 it says, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And it's really amazing that the people marveled. You know why? Because it's really amazing that they even listened to these shepherds. First of all, shepherds were despised in Jewish culture. They were dirty. They were unclean. They were living out in the fields. And they were not of high status. They were not the people, the kind of people that people would go to and seek counsel from or to hear, you know. It just didn't happen in Jewish culture at that time. These people were the outcasts. Nobody really cared what shepherds had to say, as long as they were taking care of the sacrificial lambs or the sheep that they were supposed to take care of. And so that the people marveled at anything that these guys had to say is really amazing. Secondly, they could not give testimony in court. They could not be called as a witness for or against anybody legally. Isn't that something? And here God chooses these lowly shepherds, sends an angel, announces to them that Savior, the Christ, was being born, and he tells them to go check it out, knowing what was going to happen. They were deemed by society as untrustworthy. So the second step of faith training is to tell others. Witnessing with what Christ has done with us. See, with along with building up the muscles of our faith, we need endurance training, the cardiovascular workout of faith. It's not what goes into your stomach, the word says, that defiles you. It's rather what comes out. We are exposed by what comes out of our mouths. So what are you sharing with others? Are you sharing good news? Or are you sharing garbage? Garbage in, garbage out, right? Good news in, good news out. And it's really predicated on what we spend the most time consuming. I mean, what causes us to stay out of the gym? It's because we're weak, we get out of shape, right? And we're worried about what other people think about when they see us or what they're going to say when they see us. So it's hard to get started. We don't step in. But what happens when we get going? We diligently exercise and work out. Weight starts beginning to drop off. We start getting, guys, muscle tone, maybe bulking up a little. And you notice it because you're all staring at the mirrors that they have in those things. And people start noticing something different about you. Have you lost weight? You look like you're working out. We've all heard these, right? Man, you're really getting in great shape. And something happens when the Lord makes changes on the inside. People start asking, what is different about you? They point out the things that they notice, that you don't do the same things that you used to do. You don't speak the same way that you used to speak. You don't act the same way that you used to act. And they start taking notice. And we have the opportunity to share what Jesus has done for us and in us. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, starting at verse 13, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we exercise our faith by the exercising of our faith. And if you're a little comprehensive about how you look, consider this. For the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, starting at verse 1, says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility for sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." And that's who we preach, and that's who we share. That's who people need to hear about, is Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And if your faith is feeling a little bit weak, you need to get it back in training. You need to start seeking him so that you can share with boldness, without shame, those things what God has done for you. What did Paul say? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." It's the power of God unto salvation, and it's not a hard thing. It is this: Jesus Christ came as a little baby, and he died for me, and he rose again, and he's at the right hand of the Father, but I'm saved through him, and that's why I'm different today, because he's changed my life. And I don't say those choice words anymore. I don't act like a fool and a knucklehead like I used to. I don't drink. And my life is for Christ, the one who sacrificed himself for me. It's not a hard sell, people. If he's truly living in you and your faith is really, you know, your life before others, they're going to notice it and they're going to want to know. So we seek him for strength, and we tell others for endurance. And then verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, meditating on what you have heard." You see, there needs to be a proper diet. Mary pondered these things in her heart, and she treasured them in her deepest being. And it's so important that we're balanced in our faith training. That we're not taking in more than we give out, or give out more than we take in. You see, it's all God's grace that we're to impart as we go along. And if we're just taking in and we're not sharing it, listen, we'll become constipated Christians. Sorry for the picture of that one. But we're taking in more than we're giving out. Or if we give out more than we take in, we become anemic. David, in Psalm 1, I believe it was David, maybe not. Okay, I jumped ahead of myself on that one. The writer of Psalm 1 said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates," he ponders by talking to himself, by just drinking it in and churning it over and thinking upon it. And he does that day and night. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And so here we see Mary, who kept it and was pondering these things that she had heard. She was just thinking it over and over and over again and allowing it to sink in real deep. You see, our physical bodies, they need bread and water. We need a proper diet if we're going to be in good health and seek those things. And so too do our spiritual bodies need nourishment. And it's essential for our faith that we are eating of the bread of life and drinking from the river of living water. And they're both speaking of the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word. We know what John had said. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And He was from the beginning. And it's from the Word. It's from Jesus Christ. For the words that we read are all about Him. But we need to be taking in proper nourishment as we're strengthening our faith and as we're continue to exercise our faith for endurance. We need to be eating of the Word of God. That's whether we're hearing it or reading it or sharing it one with another, building each other up in the faith. So important. That's why it says that we should not neglect the gathering together of the saints. We should be coming together as a body of believers, sharpening one another and building each other up for the edification of the body. And so we need to make sure that we're also getting the proper nourishment. That we ponder God's word, meditate on it constantly. We need that time of refreshment, and we need that time of refilling. And then fourthly, we see in verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know what? They chose joy. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a song that we sing, but it's a commandment of Scripture. There's no greater evidence of our faith than a life that is lived glorifying and praising God. It says they returned. That means they went back to the field. They went back to their old circumstances. Still in the field, still shepherds, still shepherding the sheep. Still despised by the society. But how did they go back? Christian, how did you go back once you accepted and received Christ? And is it still the same? You see, they returned to these fields glorifying and praising God, but they went back to what they were doing, but they were not like what they were before. In Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 14, Paul writes, do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's without grumbling and arguing and grumbling and complaining. And sometimes we read that and think, Lord, you could have made it a lot easier, couldn't you? How many of you grumbled or complained this week? Come on, you all had family over and stuff. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. If anybody had a reason to grumble and complain, it was the shepherds, wasn't it? They hung around with stinky sheep and nobody liked them. And, you know, there was no running water. The plumbing was out there. If anybody could have had a reason to go back grumbling and complaining after seeing the Savior of the world, it was the shepherds. But that's not what they did. Says, do all things without grumbling and complaining or murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You're a light. You're to be different. You know, no matter the circumstances, rejoicing and glorifying God and praising His name. And that's a tough one, isn't it? But that's a part of our witness. It is a part of our faith training to walk in joy, that our life would be in that epistle that Paul talks about, written not on stone but on hearts of flesh, an evidence of what Christ has done in your life. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And I don't know what promises you're all planning on making come January 1st of 2013. We tend to do it. We're people of habit, and we're going to get through a year, and we're going to stick to something that we've committed to, right? One of these days we'll get it. One of these years we'll follow through. And maybe some of you have, man, and that's awesome to be that disciplined in whatever commitments that you've made. But my encouragement for 2013 for you and for me is to strengthen our faith, to gain endurance in our faith, to have a proper diet of the water of the Word and the bread of life, and to live lives that are evidence of that faith growing in each of our lives. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and I was going to read the whole book of, or letter of Ephesians to you, because it's just a great encouragement from beginning to end. But this the Lord has put on my heart, and it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is verse 14 of chapter 3. Sorry, did I say 2? "For whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, like Mary pondering, like the shepherds running to see. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." Listen, there is no width, there is no depth, there is no length, there is no height that contains God's love. It's uncontainable. It's unfathomable. "To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God for this upcoming year. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." That it would be a year that we as a body of Christ together with the church are praising and glorifying him for all the great things that he has done. With this thought, tomorrow morning in the city of David, there's born unto you a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. And January 1st, 2013, there's born unto you in the city of David a Savior. And we have a reason to rejoice as a people. But if you don't know that Savior this morning, he's real. And he was born that day for you today, that you may know, at least start to get an inkling of the height and the width and the depth and the length of his love for you. You see, he went to a cross and he died for you, that you might have a hope of eternity. He gave that scripture in Philippians that talks about despising the shame. He went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. You are the joy that was set before him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know, and we're going into a new year, maybe Maybe you have heard, maybe the announcement has been heard, maybe you've heard the word of God from a loved one, or you've been in church before, or you heard on the radio, or maybe the Spirit is speaking to you this morning specifically, and you want to know that peace and know that joy, and you want to know the author and finisher of faith. If you want that, I want to pray with you for that this morning, and if that's you, I want you to raise your hand, because we want to pray with you before we wrap this service up this morning and sing. Is there anybody here who wants to know the exceedingly abundantly more than you can comprehend that God has for you through Jesus Christ? Is there anybody? I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Let's bow our heads and we're going to pray with the young lady that raised her hand. And I know her and I know that she's prayed. And I want us to pray together that her faith is strengthened and that she knows, that she knows, that she knows that God has already heard that cry and that call, because I know her heart and I know that she's prayed for that. So together, Heavenly Father, we lift up our sister right now, and I pray that there would be no doubt in her mind or in her heart that you are that Savior born that day for her, Christ Jesus, her Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would hear her heart, that whatever it is that's causing doubt, that you would bind it and cast it out, Lord, that she would have that surety of your Holy Spirit in her heart and in her mind right now. And we pray that you would protect her, Lord, that you would forgive her, Lord, that you would not only justify, but that you would sanctify her. And Heavenly Father, that she would have a peace as she's asking for that peace, and comfort as she asks for that comfort right now, Lord, beyond comprehension, that she's never experienced before in her life. We pray that you would heal her mind, that you would heal her heart, Lord, that you would heal any physical needs that she has right now, and that she would know, Lord, the love that is incomprehensible as you pour out your love upon her, that you, as you cover her, fill her and cover her with your Holy Spirit right now and fall afresh upon her. Lord, I pray that for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that there would just be a fresh breath from your Holy Spirit into our lives. Lord, an encouragement. Lord, that it wouldn't just be a for the upcoming year, but Lord, for the rest of our lives, that we would be men and women who diligently seek you. Lord, desiring to grow in our faith, that our faith would be strengthened, that we would, Lord, just be pushing forward to that upward calling of that prize that's in Christ Jesus, as Paul said that, Lord, until the day we stand before you and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in to this rest. And then, Lord, we look forward to that day, but until then, we pray that you would continue to strengthen us and strengthen this fellowship. Lord, that you would bless the finances for the end of the year, as you always have. We trust you, and we thank you for the upcoming year. Lord, until then, until you decide to come and get your church, just use us for your honor and glory, and I pray that the praise of our lips would be well satisfying to you, a sweet-smelling savor. We thank you for the voices and the hearts and the minds that you give us to praise you and to glorify you in all we do and say. And we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.